The following program was recorded on an earlier date for presentation at this time.
We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. We hear he is a wizard of a whiz, if ever a whiz there was. If ever, oh, ever a whiz there was, the Wizard of Oz is one. Because of the wonderful things he does. We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz.
It's not just ruined, it's me, Big Fatty, online.
Yes! Well, hello everyone, it is the Fat One, and this is episode 4613. BFO for Wednesday, the 15th of October 2025, y'all, coming up on today's Say It With Me.
A Little Show.
Y'all, it's our next installment of The Deep Dive. Yes! Hello, confusers. Yes, Big Betty. Hi, everyone. I hope your hump day is going well. Y'all, you confuse us today, because y'all, the next three little shows, the Deep Dive Owl, creating everything, y'all, it thinks that the beginning clips of everybody else's little show that mentions Big Fatty, that it's Big Fatty saying that it doesn't understand two different people. So some of the things that it talks about are actually things in the opening clips, just so you have an idea. Oh, and by the way, only 18 days till standard time. Now, y'all, today's podcast recap is for the week of
September
22 through the 26th. Y'all, it is the week that we are at Rat World, but it talks about us getting ready to go and recapping that weekend before we left. So, y'all, sit back and enjoy today's edition of The Little Show.
Welcome to the deep dive. So this week we really tackled a big one. We went through like 5 full days, Monday to Friday, of the Big Fatty Online podcast.
Yep. All of it focused on the hosts. Let's call it an eventful trip to Rat World, Disney World, obviously.
With Granny the Nip and Flo and Toe, it's quite the cast.
It really is. And our mission here, well, it was basically distillation, taking these long daily recaps and just pulling out the really unique stories, the weird stuff.
Yeah, less about the official rides and more about the mishaps, right? The chaos.
Yeah, exactly. The running gags, the physical comedy that just seemed to escalate. It's all about this specific group trying to have a normal vacation.
And the baseline they started with, well, the scene, they're staying at the Poop Century Motel.
Oh, I see.
Uh-huh. Transport is Earl Grey, the trusty truck. And the parks are all lined up. Typhoon Lagoon, Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom, Epcot.
But you also got to set the timing, because this wasn't just any random week.
Right. Monday the 22nd was the autumnal equinox, first day of fall.
And also Frankincense 57, a celebration of exiting the birth canal, as they put it.
Which is quite a phrase.
Yeah.
Then Tuesday was Warren's birthday. Later in the week, you had My Jaw or Michael in Stuttgart and Mittens on Friday.
So basically a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
Birthdays, holidays.
Right.
It just amps everything up, you know. Which probably guarantees more, well, chaos.
Maximum chaos potential.
Pretty much. The emotional energy was already high. And maybe predictably, the logistics started failing almost immediately.
Before they even got near Orlando, right?
Oh, yeah. The tone was set early. Like that fancy dinner attempt in Jacksonville.
Oh, the Cowford Chop House. Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, they tried to have this nice formal dinner, take pictures, only for Big Fatty to look at them later and say, he looked like, well, the quote is Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, no. Seriously?
Seriously. So bad they had to, like, retake the photo.
Wow. But they kept the original.
Of course. as evidence of the failure. But still, the need for that perfect picture, even when reality gives you jabba, it kind of sums things up.
It really does. And right after that, something genuinely simple, but like a massive highlight for them.
Buc-ee's, the first ever group trip.
And it wasn't the brisket or the beaver nuggets that got them excited?
No, no. Forget all that.
No.
The big discovery, the thing that apparently sent excitement levels through the roof, finding Canada dry ginger ale on tap.
Just ginger ale from a fountain.
Elevated to a landmark event. It really shows you where the priorities sometimes lie, you know?
Definitely. Less glamorous, though, was the delivery mix-up.
Ah, yes. The lesbian delivery service confusion.
Yeah.
Which meant they had to make this unplanned, kind of annoying stop at Whole Foods just to get essential supplies they thought were coming.
Which leads us perfectly into Big Fatty's big plan to impose some order.
The surprise boxes.
Exactly. These weren't just little gifts. They were basically survival kits for the gay grandma party, as is dubbed.
And if you look at what was inside,
yeah,
light up Mickey ears.
Okay. Essential for a gay grandma party.
Right. Then cooling towels, waterproof phone cases, foldable cups, fanny packs.
So basically trying to anticipate every possible physical need or park problem.
Pretty much. An attempt to mitigate all the foreseeable discomforts. Very practical.
Practical, maybe. But it didn't account for, well, the human element. Or maybe just the nip element.
Which brings us neatly to the saga of the magic band. The ever-vanishing magic band.
Oh, boy. This was a recurring theme, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So this band, you know, it's your ticket, your room key, your wallet, all on your wrist. Super convenient, right?
Supposedly.
Well, the Nips band was lost almost immediately, like back in the Jacksonville Motel.
Already, before they even got to Disney.
Yep. Caused a huge search. Hours, apparently. Only for Big Fatty to find it later. Get this. Tucked away in the tailgate of Earl Grey.
In the tailgate? How does that even happen?
Who knows? But wait, it gets better.
Oh, I bet it does.
That wasn't the end of it. By Wednesday, it was gone again. Just vanished.
Seriously, same game.
Very same. He just gave up at that point. Switched to using his physical key to the kingdom card like it was, you know, 2005.
Wow. It's like the universe was actively rejecting his use of modern convenience.
It kind of felt that way. The more sophisticated the tech, the more likely they were to physically misplace it. Or break it. Or wear it backwards. But we'll get to that.
Okay, so the arrival logistics were messy. But once they hit Orlando proper, the physical comedy ramped up.
Oh, it went to another level. Almost cinematic, you might say. We absolutely have to start with Typhoon Lagoon.
The wave pool. I heard about this.
It's an instant classic, destined for trip legend status. So picture this. 10-foot waves.
Mm-hmm.
Big Fatty gets caught.
Uh-oh.
And he's thrown, quote, head over heels, completely wiped out.
Wait, wasn't there that old video of him falling in Hawaii?
Exactly. He apparently recreated it perfectly. A full-on public wipeout.
And the others? Granny, the Nip, Flo?
They were apparently beside themselves with laughter, just howling. The highlight of their water park experience wasn't the ways, it was watching Fatty get tumbled.
That dynamic sounds supportive in its own way.
Yeah, in its own very specific way. But that wave pool incident, it just sets the stage for the sheer density of chaos that followed. Especially before they even got into Epcot one morning.
Oh, the pre-Epcot saga.
Right.
This was something else.
It really was. Yeah. Like a domino effect of personal hygiene failures.
Okay, break it down for us.
Right. So they're getting ready to leave, heading for a skillet breakfast, I think.
Yeah.
First, Granny comes out of the bathroom.
Yes.
Having peed on his pants.
Yeah.
While sitting on the turlet.
Mm-mm.
Requires an immediate change of clothes.
Okay. Unfortunate, but happens. Delay number one.
Delay number one. But immediately after that, as they're finally about to walk out the door, the Nip announces,
don't tell me,
that he has, and I quote, S himself.
Oh, come on. Right then.
Right then. Which then required, apparently, extensive cleanup operations involving the back of the toilet before they could actually leave the room.
How do you recover from that? Two incidents back to back before 9 a.m.
You don't really recover, do you? You just sort of proceed. With the grim knowledge that absolutely anything can happen at any moment.
Fair point. Speaking of anything happening, let's talk about things happening late at night at the motel.
Ah, yes. The naked Nip incident.
Okay, I need details. How public are we talking?
Well, Big Fatty was just getting ice late one night, walks past the Nip's ground floor window at the prestigious poop sentry.
Oh.
And there's the Nip, standing at the sink, quote, but naked, fully visible to anyone strolling by on the walkway.
No way! Curtains open.
Apparently so. Fetty confronted him later, and Nip confessed he'd been wandering around like that for a bit before realizing, you know, that he might have an audience.
That's a special combination of relaxation and potential public indecency.
Peak motel obliviousness, perhaps.
But Fetty wasn't immune to public scrutiny either, though his was more official.
Ah, the Magic Kingdom security screening, yes.
Yeah, he got pulled aside for extra checks, right?
He did. And this is where the absurdity just peaks. You're thinking, okay, what set it off? A weird electronic, some kind of contraband.
Yeah, what was it?
A small tin of sugar-free Velvmints Breckmints in his fanny pack.
Velvmints, the Breathmints. That triggered a security alert.
That triggered the alert and required additional serious screening. They had to inspect the tiny tin of sugar-free mints.
That might be the most big fatty detail possible. The intersection of high security and, well, Velvmints.
It perfectly captures the disconnect, doesn't it? Between the serious security apparatus and the sheer random weirdness this group brings.
Absolutely. So if the logistics were shaky and the physical stuff was chaotic, the actual in-park experiences, they didn't disappoint on the weirdness scale either.
Not at all. It's like the universe itself was leaning in, trying to turn their inside jokes into public events.
Like at the Carousel of Progress, a totally classic normal ride.
Until Big Fatty gets involved.
Yeah.
So there's that scene, you know, with the old grandma character sewing.
Yeah, I think another one.
Well, Fatty, referencing some deep cut from their own personal joke lore, just yells out loud enough for people to hear, "It's Vera!"
Vera? Who's Vera?
Exactly. Auntie Vera Charles, apparently.
Yeah.
But nobody else knows this. So random parkgoers hear this, see the animatronic grandma, and start taking pictures.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Posting them online later, asking, like, did we find a new secret Disney character? Who's Vera? He accidentally created a minor, completely unintentional viral moment based on an inside joke.
That's incredible. The identity confusion didn't stop there, though, did it?
Nope. It followed him to dinner at the Yachtsman Steakhouse. Poor Zach.
What happened to Zach?
Their waiter just kept calling him Ryan, repeatedly.
Ryan? Not even close.
Not even close. Zach had to keep correcting him, like, it's Zach, multiple times.
Awkward.
Extremely. The waiter was apparently so mortified by the end, he just sent over a complimentary flute of champagne addressed to Ryan.
A champagne apology for getting his name wrong all night. Classy, I guess.
Deliciously awkward is what it was.
Okay, now we need to talk about high-tech failure combined with public embarrassment. The Tron ride.
Ah, yes. The brand new, super cool Tron light cycle run, where Flo and the Nip somehow, against all odds.
Dude, did they do?
Managed to get onto their light cycles backwards.
Backwards? How is that physically possible? You're supposed to lean forward.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
But they did it. So they were facing Big Fatty, who is seated correctly in the cycle right behind them, giving him this bizarre face-to-face view for the entire high-speed launch and ride.
That must have been surreal.
Fatty was probably bewildered.
Yeah.
The Nip afterwards apparently called it the most embarrassing thing I've done in a long time.
Which, considering the pre-Epcot bathroom situation,
is setting an extraordinarily high bar for personal shame. It really is.
They also got an unexpected view of another ride, didn't they? The less glamorous version.
Yeah. The Ratatouille breakdown, yes.
Yeah.
Over in Epcot, the ride system just stopped, failed completely.
So they got evacuated.
They did, which meant they got the full lights-on experience walking through the ride track.
The behind-the-scenes tour nobody asks for.
Exactly. Fatty described it very vividly. He said seeing all the mechanics and the track exposed like that was like turning on the roach lights in a bar.
Charming analogy.
Isn't it? But hey, they got a free Lightning Lane pass out of it as compensation. So silver linings, a unique, if slightly grim, private viewing.
And speaking of missing things, the timing was just impeccable sometimes. Like Granny and the parade finale.
Oh, perfect comedic timing. The absolute end of the Starlight Dream the Night Away parade. The big finale float, the choo-choo train everyone waits for. And Granny completely missed it. Because at that exact moment, he had to make a mad dash for the Turl.
You couldn't script that timing better if you tried. Ran for the bathroom and missed the final float.
It's poetry, really. The only thing that seemed to go off without a hitch, surprisingly, was the Halloween party.
Mickey's Not So Scary.
That's the one. It's a limited entry event. And they mentioned the trick-or-treating was incredibly generous, like cast members using big scoops, filling up their bags with candy super fast.
So in a week of things going slightly wrong, at least the sugar supply was reliable.
Abundant, even. A small victory.
But we really need to contrast all this, you know, low-stakes chaos and physical comedy with the actual effort that went into some parts of this trip, especially the surprises Flo organized.
That juxtaposition is key, isn't it? Because amidst all the mishaps, there were these moments of serious planning and expense, like getting into Space 220 for dinner.
Which is supposed to be amazing, but really hard to book, right?
Exactly. It's a new hot ticket restaurant, price fix menu, the whole immersive space elevator thing. Big Fatty was apparently really eager to try it, and Flo treated everyone.
So a real high point. Planned, executed, expensive.
Shows the effort put in, you know? Trying to create those special moments to balance out the, well, the inevitable.
And the other big one, Flo arranged. The grand finale for their Epcot day.
The private fireworks cruise. That's a serious splurge.
Wow. Just for them.
Just for their group. Plus, Daniel Bayuma joined them. They got a boat, cruised around the waterways, and then watched the big Epcot fireworks show from the water.
That sounds genuinely lovely. Relaxing, even.
It was described exactly like that. Relaxing, wonderful, a perfect way to end that day. A moment of actual, like, serene luxury amidst the general madness.
But even luxury couldn't entirely escape the critical eye of the group, could it? The cake stop.
Ah, the cake bake shop. Yes. Another high-end treat. They stopped for dessert, sampling these apparently very expensive, like, $22 slices of cake.
$22 for a slice of cake.
Okay. But even then, perfection remained elusive. Granny got a lemon bar.
Let me guess.
And complained it was either too lemony or the crust was hard as a rock. One or the other. Maybe both.
Of course. Even at $22 a slice, something had to be slightly off.
It just underscores that theme, right?
Yeah.
Even when you're paying top dollar for gourmet stuff, that little bit of minor dissatisfaction is always lurking nearby for this crew.
So when you put all these stories together, the Jabba photo, the ginger ale, the lost magic band, the wipeout, the bathroom incidents, Vera, Ryan, backwards Tron, the mints, it paints quite a picture.
It really does. It's a perfect synthesis of what traveling with this specific group looks like. You can have the detail plans, the folders, the expensive meals, the surprise boxes.
But the chaos finds a way.
It always prevails. The physical comedy, the weird encounters, the sheer drama of it all.
And maybe the key takeaway here for anyone listening isn't about Disney World itself.
Probably not. It's more about group travel dynamics, maybe. The real success of a trip like this isn't measured by how perfectly the schedule runs or how good the food is.
It's measured by how well you roll with the punches.
Exactly. The resilience, the humor you need to just navigate the constant stream of small disasters and weirdness that your friends inevitably create. And crucially, turning those failures into the stories you tell later.
Because let's be honest, the things they'll actually talk about for years aren't Space 220. It's going to be backwards Tron.
Or the Velvet security check.
Or Granny peeing on his pants before breakfast.
Or losing the magic band twice. Those are the core memories.
Which really makes you think, doesn't it, for you listening? Does a really memorable vacation depend more on the quality of the mishaps and how you laugh about them than the actual attractions? How much chaos is required for a trip to be truly legendary?
Or maybe just, how many times does a magic band need to get lost before it's just considered a permanent feature of the vacation package?
Whoa.
Something to ponder?
Yeah.
Oh, y'all, I hope you have a lovely, just a lovely hump day. Y'all, once again, today is Miss Melissa Miranda Melinda's celebration of exiting the birth canal. I played her wishes on yesterday's little show, but y'all, if she missed out on yesterday's, a reminder that it's over there. Yes, Big Fatty. Y'all, we're on our way to Los Wages on the Aluminium Tube of Death. Flying first class. Yes, Big Fatty. And I can't remember what I selected for my lunch. Oh, yeah, a Shake Shack cheeseburger. Big Fatty. Big Fatty, is that the theme song for your stomach after eating that cheeseburger today?
You can leave a comment on the secure website at BigFattyOnline.com, and you don't have to use the www. Or drop me an e-letter at ruined@BigFattyOnline.com. Call the voice letter number at 619-784-6331. That's 619-RUINED-1. And leave a message or just natter with the fat one and poodle.
Yes!
The show is part of Pride 48 and is the premier production of the RNL Podcasting Network.